What we are going, thank you. What we are going to do now is to enter in a round of questions to, let's say, to any of the people that presented, right? Either Supriya, so if you can come forward, and I leave any of you to make any question, please.
See, I didn't cover the details, but I think I got your point. So there were many entities, many processes which were involved in these two supply chains. One is you're selling into them goods that they require for everyday livelihood. The other was you were selling what they were getting in the forest by adding some value to it and selling to the outside world. So when you look at the process map between the two, this diagram only showed the entities which were involved and the people and the processes. When you go one level deeper, the same processes which are used for one supply chain were being used for others, and the same people and principles were being applied. Whereas if you look at what needs to be brought in, has to be different from what needs to be sold out. They were selling, bringing in items for them at a higher cost and selling out at a lower cost. And then the depots that they had, where you had to stock these two, there was again a conflict of interest there between the two entities. And then the government had to put in a lot of money into those particular areas. So by separating the processes, the people and stakeholders involved, and also a market study which showed that the pricing that they were currently doing was much lower than the market had, and the continuous supply of the products, because there is a demand for the product, forest produce out in the retail market, but they were not able to sustain that. I mean, it's like when you want and it's not on the shelf, the customer just goes off. So those kind of supply chain issues were sorted. So in this, it was at a level of a cybernetic understanding, but if you go deeper, like I said, the specifics, we came up with the process maps, those were separated. So the depots meant for stocking food items and for the retail. Yes. The separation of welfare and commerce concerns were what was handled. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks, Supriya. Any other question, please? I have one for Philip. I think you're challenging in a very interesting way, in a very interesting approach, the works of three Nobel Prize in economics, to my knowledge. First, Vasily Leontief with input-output tables. Second, Tom Sargent with dynamic macroeconomics, and as well Bob Lucas, all these three Nobel Prizes with dynamic programming. And I heard from, and I didn't know you from Professor Sargent, that now we economists have to know how to program and let's say in any kind of language, because economics is now programming. So what do you think about that as a part of your, let's say, a way to complete your three, the triad on, food, energy, and, yes.
Okay.
And water.
Yeah, it's quite a challenge. I mean, it was a discussion we had yesterday with Tom Sheridan's presentation, and he made the point that our current models are incomplete. And I responded to that by the work that I was doing was to start looking at how can we build into current economic models at the macro level initially to include the role that our natural environment, our natural resources play in terms of the value and the role of our economics, and start to recognise them more in, I think the starting point is to see if we can actually embed them into current economic models that are being used, because there's two things. First of all, one, they're missing from that, but secondly, if we want to make a change, then it's probably easier to have a change in existing model that's accepted in the financial economic area and have those embedded or included in it, rather than start again and have a clean sheet of paper and develop new models. We may eventually move and gravitate away from our current economic thinking, but as I said before, we need to do different things, we need to think differently and do things differently as well. So I'm not quite sure if I've answered your question right, but the main thing is to actually bring forward and include, you know, how do we value our natural assets? How do we rate them in terms of, and I know there's a lot of work being done on, you know, the world is overpopulated, we can only support X billion and we have Y billion. And what does that translate down into terms of how many people do we have enough water for in the context of water security, energy and food, and particularly with the trade-offs against that, and different countries do different things in terms of those trade-offs. So it's going to be an evolution process, and that's why I said we probably need to start off at how do we model this and do it at the local level, then the regional, the national and regional levels.
Okay. Thanks, Philip. Anybody else that want to? I have another to Dr. Devrapalli. Oh, sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, there are three elements, and then you're talking of those, how do you optimize with the three, but I think there is an influence of technology on that where, you know, I think food, water, and, you know, the other resources are changing the nature in which they're being. Energy, there is an increase, probably the technology ensures that it's not limited, but then how it's converted, it's not... It's not a limitation, but I think you're actually increasing the food production, the energy, water, yeah, in a sense is limited, but then, like you said, you actually have filters, like a country like Dubai, actually, they have a it's expensive, but they can still afford good drinking water because of other resources that they have. So I don't know if the model should incorporate other aspects into it. Just a suggestion from a cybernetic corner perspective.
Interesting, the dynamic way of handling things is relatively become a possibility because of the communication technology that we currently have, and also the way we understand the demand that is ever changing. In that sense and respond systems have to be get more robust and also timely, the how we sense and how to what extent we could respond with the technology to really assess the demand and then find the resources. For example, yesterday there was a kind of a carpool sharing models. Therefore, these are the things that we are coming and to see. I think technology is at the right point to really address these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Any final question? So, well, I really, I appreciate the humongous work you did. Believe me, as an economist, I really love all this, and it's really impressive. But we are really short of time. Unfortunately, there are some other presentations that have to be to take this area. And I really want to give you an applause for your work and to share with all of you.